103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
.2 Dublin City FM in association with greensax.ie. In association with sounds very formal, but nonetheless, with our mates greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. It's a sod show with a twist because no stranger to the show is a lady, a double underline lady, by the name of Katrina. And Katrina has yesterday launched her own book. It's Wholesome, Feed Your Family Well for Less. And I'm told by one of the magazines that I'm reading in front of me, it is available now, in paperback for just $19.99 with an exclamation mark after it. Katrina Redmond needs no introduction. But the biggest one that is possibly on the tips of other people's lips, maybe I say, is why is a lady who writes recipes, I asked that very naively on a garden radio show, apart from the fact that, you know, myself and Brian were swindled up here because we are eating, we weren't swindled, we were offered cake and coffee and we said, yeah, sure, we'll take some of that. Brian is also in my company as well, we'll hear a little bit from him in a minute. But your background is kind of, it's not really, I'm hesitant to describe it as just cooking, because I know we interviewed you before you became part of the Sod Show for Balbriggan allotments. I know your front garden was a quasi allotment. I know you were involved in the pig rearing, the pig introductions up in the allotments, the whole lot. You have a pretty checkered past that makes me only want to call you super mom, and that just so happens to involve gardening and cooking. But you're not a grow your own expert who does a little bit of cooking as well, or vice versa. Have I explained all of those introductions well enough, Katrina?
I don't know whether, look, out the front garden there's two raised beds, nothing in them at the moment because, well, we're getting the house painted, so we don't want paint nor veg. But yes, there is two raised beds out the garden. We do have 200 square metres of an allotment. We are part of a pig rearing syndicate, so we do technically own a pig and rear pigs for our own pork. How did I end up with my own book? I asked. I asked Mercier, would they be interested in me writing a book and then publishing it? And Mercier Press said, yes, fantastic, we'd love you to do that. I've written about food for a long time. We've grown our own food for a long time. I'm no expert. I don't think I'll ever be an expert 40 years down the line. I'm learning from some fantastic experts. Do I grow my own? Am I into gardening? Does it look good on photos? If it looks good on photos, then I'll grow it.
There's a bit in my head though where I'm kind of expecting you to, Brian, can we say bullshit on the radio?
It's a technical agricultural term. Yes.
It's a technical agricultural term. I'm being told. Okay, so, but the usual thing is that I'm expected to see some dude who has started to grow his own stuff, who's got a television program, and he's it's in my head. I'm kind of going, okay, well, it looks really flipping cool, and you're just kind of turning around going, no, I've got nothing there. Yeah, I set up the Balbriggan allotments. Yeah, we've got an allotment ourselves. Yeah, I'm not the best gardener. Yeah, I have to get the front of the house painted. And by the way, I've got, you know, 42,000 kids running around the house, and you know, himself will be home in a minute, and what you see is what you get. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's no BS. I'm not that kind of person. Exactly, what you see is what you get. I do what I do because I love it. I write about food and I cook it, I take photographs, I talk about it, I write a lot. Yeah, I suppose that's a part of what I do. And yes, there are loads of kids running around the house, and yes, I am, between us we have 3 kids, 2, 5 and 14, and I work from home, but it's all fun and it's all good. And the book, I suppose, is about spreading the word that you don't have to spend loads and loads of money to feed your family well. You can do it on less money than you expected. And if you decide that you need to save money in the morning, or if you know, you want to go on a holiday and you need to save a little bit of money, well, maybe you might consider to do this. Or if, like me, you've struggled with the recession, struggled an awful lot, then maybe this book would be a message of hope, because writing it for me was part of getting hope, and it was a real catalyst for change in my life.
Some people are going to turn around and say, well, statistically, unemployment is on the fall. It's for the better. I think we're hearing of recent that supermarkets, or governments with supermarkets, are trying to control supermarkets diddling the grower, let's say, in some cases, to prevent them from bringing prices to the absolute bare minimum. We're hearing that house prices are on the rise. Is there a case where maybe your book is a little bit, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but is there a little bit where your book is kind of maybe a year or two old? Or is it a case of, well, actually, hold on a second, media can print one thing, in reality it's this?
The book is my life. Nothing has, from a point of view of our food budget and what we eat, nothing has changed from the day that I finished writing that book to what I do now. Our food budget is still the same. We still feed our family on that amount. And actually taking a look at the pack sizes and the prices in the supermarket, prices are on the rise. Our budget hasn't changed. So I've still got to make do with the amount that I have. And I've still got to be inventive and be clever about how I shop and how I cook for my family. So maybe the media might say, oh, well, you know, it's late to the game. I really couldn't care less, because the book is a reflection of how I live, and I know for a fact that it's a reflection of how many, many other people live. The OECD report in Ireland in 2013 stated that 1 in 10 people felt that they didn't have enough money to buy food for themselves. The Healthy Food for All and Barnardo's say that 1 in 5 children either go to bed hungry or go to school hungry. So there's your answer. There are people who are struggling to feed themselves. So that's where my book comes in. What you see is what you get, as you say. I don't sugarcoat anything. That's life for me. That's life for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people in Ireland today.
Okay, two things. Number one, I'm kind of leaning towards, there was an old book that I have, A Guide to Self-Sufficiency. It was by a gentleman by the name of John Seymour. I'm open to correction on that. And his was everything from kind of pigs to house husbandry. I don't know whether there's a more, that's the correct term. It's not a sexist term by any means. But, you know, it was everything to do with being, living, working on a farm. And I know we have suburbia and three-bedroom semi-Ds now, and not everybody lives in a cave with their wife, and they have a couple of pigs and a few hens, and they grow a couple of chickens or stuff like that. Are you like a modern-day version of that? Because the last time we would have spoke on air on the Sod Show would have been down at Balbriggan Allotments. You had Jane Powers there, who we have interviewed on the show, garden author extraordinaire. We would have had Cathy Marsh. We would have had literally a list of Ireland's and Dublin's best horticultural brains, myself included in brackets, in that list. And the next time we met would have been down at the agricultural show in Newbridge House that was run by Fingal County Council. And we were talking with people who grew strawberries and grew fruit, but they also made jam. I'm trying to not pigeonhole you, but I'm trying to get what the flip do I call you? Like, because it's not just pure cooking, but it's not just cooking. It's literally the supermom's guide to being flipping deadly. Is that the way I call it?
No, you just call, as Brian says, you just call me Katrina. Like, that's who I am. Like, there's nothing, like, the book itself, there's nothing in it, just to be clear, there's nothing in it about growing your own food. There's nothing in it about taking care of pigs. The book is aimed at people who don't have the privilege that I have to be able to grow, to have the space to grow my own food, or to be able to have the space to keep pigs in a group. The book is aimed at people who go to the supermarket every day. And the prices in the book are based on going to the supermarket every day. And that's how it works for me. But no, I'm not special. I'm just me. I'm Katrina, and that's just the way it is.
Is there a lot of what's on your blog on Wholesome Ireland that is not in the book? Is that a better way to put what I've said? Do the two of them almost work in tandem in order to get to know the author a bit better? Is that a better way to put that?
I wear my heart on my sleeve. So the book is very much a reflection of myself, and also the blog is a reflection of myself. Maybe the book is a little bit more of a formal version, but to be clear, the book is 100% brand new. None of the content on the blog is in the book. So if you like the blog, you'll also like the book, but you won't find it anywhere else. It's unique. And that took up an awful lot of my time. There's over 100 new recipes. There are 256 pages in this paperback book, and I've shot every single recipe myself.
You were on another radio station yesterday, and you told me beforehand that they wanted an exclusive. You grabbed me in the headlock, and I agreed. And then you said, "I'll give you a cake." Do you want to explain what happened there?
Well, people like to talk to me, and I'm happy to talk to whoever wants to talk to me.
What radio station were you on yesterday?
Another one.
Oh, task, Brian.
I think the clue is another one in there somewhere, I think. Going back to Peter's intro to this interview, I thought it was like, this is your life and we're going to bring somebody in that you haven't seen since you were 10 years of age, and we flew them in from Chicago. But I picked up something from your first answer, and it was something that James Wong said on stage in Cork about getting off your ass and doing things. And you said you asked for this book to, you know, happen. Tell us a bit about that. What kind of drove you to ask and not wait, like most Irish people, in a kind of a customer services way, not wanting to complain, not wanting to, you know, do anything about it and wait till they're asked? You went and asked. How did that happen?
I have wanted to write for a long time. I went to a writing course in McCredden Village down in Wicklow back in September 2012. And that was a course with a renowned American author called Diane Jacob. And she wrote a book called We'll Write for Food. It's all about how you can achieve your goals as a food writer. And as I left, I felt very inspired. And I went home and I looked at everything I had on the blog, and I nearly had a panic attack. And I figured I'd just keep on writing and see what happened. And the longer the time went from that September to coming up to Easter in 2013, I really, really felt like I had something to say. So I sat down and I worked out chapters. I wrote down hundreds of recipes and I filled out a pitch. I wrote a pitch to Mercier. So I contacted them on Holy Thursday of Easter 2013. And the Tuesday after Easter Monday, so less than, I suppose, the next working day, I got an email from Mercier saying they wanted to work with me. So it must have been a good pitch.
That is pretty damn fast. And for those who are out there, it's a funny thing, because last week, myself and Pat Fitzgerald were having a conversation online. And the conversation, Pat Fitzgerald is a grower based down in Kilkenny. He's also a previous guest of the Sideshow, for those who don't know. And we were saying that Gary Gloss, Sheila Ní Conaine, also a former guest of the show, is the only garden outdoors telly programme that is on in Ireland at this moment in time. The Sideshow is the only garden radio show that is on radio in Ireland at this moment in time. And we have one trade magazine and one magazine available to the public. What you have done, if gardeners took a leaf out of your book, if you'll pardon my pun, is literally done a James Wong and grabbed the bull entirely by the horns.
I suppose so. I am... the only person who has control over my own destiny. I could sit at home and I could live with being made redundant and being a stay-at-home, stuck-at-home mother with two kids and less money than we were used to and struggling. Or I could write about it as, I suppose, a channel or an outlet for how I felt and share how I managed to make our family work on a budget, and hopefully by sharing, help other people. So I suppose what I'm saying is either I accept the way things are, or I understand that if I want to make a difference, the only person who can make that difference is me. So that's what I did.
Okay, explain this one to me. There's all of this struggling for money stuff. Don't mean that in a bad way. And there's the making the change, but there's a ton of stuff that you've done, which again isn't in the book, which is probably what endears me to your character and your family so much more. And like, why get involved in the allotments? Why set up the... You were involved in the setting up of the allotments. You attracted so much PR and attention for the better of your community. It wasn't just you. It was literally for in allotments. And it's not, you know, the super duper allotments on the south side of Dublin. It's Balbriggan allotments, which normally, if it's all right to say, doesn't always get the best... I say doesn't always get the best press. And it's a beautiful community. I used to live here. It's a wonderful flipping town. But why did you go and set up allotments? Why did you do that?
Because, well, because we wanted it to be better. Because we saw that there was a need for allotments in the town. And when the council mentioned that they thought that they would be interested in setting up an allotment scheme and they needed people to drive it forward, we knew it was something we wanted to get behind. To be clear, like, when I say we, I mean myself and my husband. When I was made redundant, we reached a point where we looked at what was happening in our community and we realised that we were totally disengaged from the community. We went to work, or I used to go to work. We came home. We went into our houses. We have some family who lived nearby and we would have seen our family. We didn't really engage with our neighbours. We didn't engage with the kids in the street. We didn't do any of that. And we realised that we have small kids and we wanted the town or where we lived to be better for our kids in the future. And there were certain things that we knew we wanted to do that we had been involved in when we were younger and that our parents had done for us. So we are a second generation family of summer project volunteers. Both of our families, when we were younger, ran summer projects in the areas that we lived in. And we decided to start running the first independent summer project in Balbriggan. There was another summer project running under the Remember Us scheme, which is a group for children with special needs. We decided we'd set one up for just kids in the local area, and we ran it successfully for a number of years. We got involved in and we set up a youth club up in our area of Balbriggan, and we also decided and we knew that growing our own and giving our children to grow their own and to give them important life skills and to show our kids how to play, how to grow, all of these things are really, really important to us as a family. So we knew that if we worked towards those as a family and then used the skills that we had in the community, that it would make a difference. So my background is from an admin point of view. I was at one point Irish Personal Assistant of the Year 2008 for a job that I had. And so obviously organisation is something that I can do fairly okay. So I was able to use those skills from a point of view of organising and getting involved in the organisation of the allotment scheme. John is a great grafter, as I think you already know, Peter. So often when you see John and I out together or when you see John out doing something, it's often that I will have put in hours and hours of work at home from an organisational point of view, and then that gets him to a point where he can go out and do hard graft. And we work together as a team like that.
Okay, the reference to John, Katrina's husband, number one, he's a Liverpool fan and I'm an Arsenal fan. So, okay, you can fill in the blanks on that one if you know anything about soccer. And the other one is the garden that I would have built pre-Christmas with John and Francis Brennan. It was an odd time, not going to get into it, but an odd time in my own personal life. Just personal stuff was happening. And I needed a pair of hands. I rang Katrina, and John and his dad, Katrina's husband and Katrina's father-in-law, came out and helped build that garden for the lovely people at CASA, C-A-S-A, based in Malahide, Caring and Sharing Association. If I can urge you at home listening to this to do one thing, it would be to head on to the blog. I'll have to ask you at this point just to confirm that in case I say it wrong, but it's Wholesome.
It's wholesome.ie.
Okay, that's it. And you're at wholesome.ie on Twitter, and it's facebook.com/wholesome Ireland. Okay, I just got the nod of approval on that one. Okay, Brian.
If there's a spectrum, and on one end of the spectrum is ready meals, and on the other end of the spectrum is home cooked meals, where's Ireland at with that spectrum?
I suppose statistically, according to figures that are out this week, Ireland is very, very high on consumers and consuming ready meals. I feel that that's down to a lack of skills, a lack of knowledge. When the marriage bar was dropped from civil service, it meant that an awful lot of women went back into the workplace, which meant that children were in childcare or children went out to work sooner. So we lost, and then also with people working in city centres and moving away from family communities, we lost anecdotal heritage, we lost our food heritage, we lost the situation where people would learn at their mother's knee. And I often think that that also happens in horticulture, that when people grew food at home, they learned as part of their culture, they learned as part of their family. There was no structured learning, and that actually, that peer-to-peer, that individual learning is really, really important when it comes to horticulture and when it comes to food. And that has skipped a generation in horticulture and in food. So we're now, our generation, I'm in my 30s, not very many of our generation would have learned how to cook at our mother's knee. A certain proportion would, but not very many. So that's where the lack of skills comes in. And where you have a lack of skills, that's where you're likely to go for convenience food. And likewise, when it comes to horticulture, where you have a lack of skills and where you have a lack of knowledge on how to grow food. I grew up in a family that grew their own food. So I do have a certain amount of that skills. Where you grow up in a family where you're never exposed to growing your own food and eating your own food from the ground and how normal and how natural it is, then it skips a generation and it becomes something that's alien to you. To give you an example, I've got two raised beds out the front, and the first year we grew out the front, we grew something really, really simple on purpose. We grew peas, because peas can be eaten at all stages of their growth. And in the kids in the community, when they came around, they take a look at the peas and they were gobsmacked that we were just eating them raw. We were eating the shoots, we were eating the peas themselves, and we were shucking them when they were fully grown. And we were eating them at all stages, and we were encouraging the kids to pick them. So they were exposed to growing in the front garden. And that's kids in the area, like, it's not just our own kids. They were exposed to food, growing food in the garden and eating it raw and then taking it from the garden and eating it on the table. So that's really, really important from a cultural point of view and from a peer-to-peer transfer of skills. And that's where, from my point of view, it's really important that we have community champions. We need community champions, people who don't pass on information in an instructed type form of education. We need people who will stand beside kids, stand beside adults, and show them how to cook, show them how to grow their own food. And I suppose that's something I believe very strongly in. Sorry, that's a long answer to your question.
And just to clarify something there, so that you don't get into any form of controversy or trouble, you're just plain speaking calling a spade a spade. You're not telling anybody how they should or shouldn't live their lives in regard to career choices and all that stuff. You've no opinions on that whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Actually, it's something that I feel really strongly about, and I've written about it on the blog. I do eat convenience food, and I do feed my kids convenience food. I've done it in the past, and I will do it again. There's nothing wrong with it. Everything is, it's really important to recognize and to understand that everybody's family is different. And just because I do it my way in my family doesn't mean that you should do it the same way as I do. If I write a book about how to feed your family well for less and you decide it's not something you're interested in, well, then that's absolutely fine. But if you're stuck, the book is always there. Or if you read a recipe and you think, oh no, I wouldn't be interested, that's absolutely fine too.
You've explained this generational gap, and that's the kind of situation we find ourselves in. Have you thought about what the solution is to getting back that lost generation?
I think that the work that the likes of the Department of Education and Bord B A Dozen Schools is very, very interesting. However, Bord B A's own research says that the transfer of education from a point of view of food and growing food, the primary educator is the family in the home. And the primary source of education for food and for growing is the family and in the home. So in order to change things, we need to refocus this education, and it needs to be done from a family point of view. So as I say, we need community champions. We need somebody like a mother around the corner who cooks food for her own family, who's willing to share that knowledge with somebody else. We don't need celebrity chefs. We don't need celebrities to show us how to cook. That's not how I cook. And anybody who says it, I guess I had an analogy from another reader who said that at one stage, when a celebrity chef was trying to cook for a family on a budget, sending a celebrity chef into a supermarket with a budget is like sending Imelda Marcos into a shoe shop. it's completely different. Families need to learn from a realistic point of view how to live on a budget. And we have plenty of families up and down the country who are doing it. And if a couple of families were willing to share that information with the community, I think it would make a huge difference.
The book is available, I suppose, in all good bookshop superstores.
The book is available in all bookstores nationwide. Gill & Macmillan are the distributors, so you should find it in absolutely any bookstore that you go looking for it. However, if you are savvy like me and you want to save a little bit of money, you should order it from the Mercier Press. That's mercierpress.ie. And when you check out, you should use the code Wholesome20. And then you'll receive the book for shipping for free and a discount, which will get you the book for €15.
And if you've forgotten all of that, I'll get Katrina to put it in the show notes because, as most of you would be aware, yeah, she runs the behind the scenes bit. Oh, I'm joking. I'll do the show notes this week and because I know she's busy. In fact, I'll get Brian to do them. How's about that for you? Other than that, the book is priced $19.99. It is, of course, called
Wholesome, and the subtitle is Feed Your Family Well for Less.
And I guarantee you, you will not find a nicer book to have. I think that the beauty about it is knowing a little bit behind the scenes, and that kind of makes it a little bit more endearing and personal and likable. And that's exactly what the book is. Higher than highly recommended from myself and Brian and also Katrina from Balbriggan. With thanks to greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, our best mates. Our best mates, yeah. We'll talk to you this time next week. Sodshow.com, at Sodshow on Twitter, and facebook.com/thesodshow if you have any feedback at all. Take care. Good afternoon. Bye for now. Have a good weekend.
On Twitter at Sodshow, on Facebook The Sodshow, email info@sodshow.com. Talk to you next week, 3 p.m. 103.2 Dublin City FM.